Hey, it's Rashonda, and I am here to apologize because I gave y'all the wrong audio for the last episode, so I had to delete it and re-upload it. So if you clicked on the episode about how to track calories without triggering a binge and you did not get that information, I apologize. I simply uploaded the wrong audio, or rather I gave the wrong audio to my assistant who helps me. And so it's all my fault. You know, I take full responsibility for that, but I did want to make it right and make sure that you have the information that you actually clicked for. So, thank you so much for listening. Here's the correct audio. I don't even know what else to say about it, but I hope that you do enjoy this episode. Okay. Take care. And I will catch you after the episode.
You're listening to the Rise and Align with Food podcast. I'm Rashonda Yates. 8 years ago, I found myself struggling with food and my weight. I was pre-diabetic, 100 pounds overweight, and felt like my life was getting smaller with every passing day. I know firsthand how hard it can be to break free from those struggles. And that's why I'm here to share my story and the simple tools that helped me retrain my brain and release 70 pounds. Let's work together to see what's possible for you, so you too can finally break free from binge eating, lose weight, and have peace with your food and your body. Welcome, and thank you for pressing play.
Hi, and welcome back to the Rise and Align with Food podcast. I'm your host, Rashonda Yates, and today I'm sharing my top three ways to track calories and lose weight without binge eating. So if you clicked on the episode, you're probably dealing with maybe tracking calories makes you feel super restricted and food focused, so you just don't do it. Or maybe you want to lose weight, but every time you try, you find yourself feeling crazy trying to track and overwhelmed, and you end up binge eating. Now, here's what happens for most people. They decide they're going to lose weight by counting calories. Then they'll go online to see what their calories should be to lose X amount of pounds in X amount of time. And what happens is you start to feel over hungry. The tracking feels overwhelming. You keep going over the calories you say you would stick to, and you see the scale number not moving or going up. And then you feel discouraged, which sends you into full on sabotage mode. Now, I've been there. Okay. So I want to make that clear. Like, this is where I used to be. And so I'm about to share with you how you can count calories in a way that's actually sustainable, so you can consistently lose weight without feeling like you're going crazy with tracking. This is from Pillar 2, Aligned Eating Choices of the Food Trigger Immunity Framework, which is what I teach from Inside Eat with Balance. So there's a lot more in there, but I'm going to give you the three most powerful ways that you can approach tracking calories that will allow you to meet your weight loss goals without feeling overwhelmed or stressed by the process, without binge eating, and without feeling deprived. So here goes. All right. Now, before I get into these three ways, I want to share a little bit of a perspective shift with you. And that is that, you know, when you're eating, you want to hit three specific points of satiety. Now, I talked about these in the previous episode, so go and check that out if you haven't yet. But two episodes ago. And the three points that you want to hit are physical, psychological, and emotional satiety. And when you hit these three points of satiety, then you set yourself up for success with tracking calories. Now, that's the foundation. If you are not eating enough food to begin with, then you're going to be in constant fight or flight. Hunger is a very powerful biological trigger. You don't want to be constantly fighting hunger. Yes, hunger has its role. You know, hunger is a part of our lives, and there, you know, it's not that you never want to be hungry. So, but there's a balance to be struck. Hunger is a cue, right? But if you are hungry 24/7 because you're always restricting yourself to the point where you're hungry 24/7, is that sustainable? You know, you probably are already realizing that it's unsustainable. So what you want to do is you want to find a way to meet those three types of satiety, which is physical, emotional, and psychological. And once you have that foundation in place, then you want to approach tracking in these three ways. So here goes. Number one is stop being a jerk to yourself. Now, what I mean by this is, you know, have you ever sat down to plan out your meals for the day? You know, you planned out how much calories you're going to have, and then you plan you're going to have, you know, maybe oats in the morning, chicken breast for lunch, maybe chicken breast and veggies and stir fry for dinner. But in that entire day, you didn't include anything that would be just, you know, something that you would have that would be pleasurable. You didn't include anything that you just love to eat. You didn't plan anything that would feel like an indulgent part of your day. You love flavorful foods, but yet you didn't include anything that would just be flavorful for flavor's sake in your day. So, you know, I'm going to give you an example from my own life just because I think it's easier to have examples, but this is not to suggest that this is what you should do. All right. So disclaimer that just because I eat a certain way or certain types of foods doesn't mean that you must incorporate those into your day. You've got to look at your unique needs, your unique goals and values. Okay. But in my freezer right now, I have little Bluebell ice cream cups, like the little single serve Bluebell ice cream cups. And I enjoy eating those at the end of the day. And, you know, I could say, oh, I shouldn't have ice cream in my freezer. And for some people, maybe that works. Maybe it works to just not have the ice cream in their freezer. Maybe they prefer to go out, you know, and get the ice cream from the, you know, the marble slab or whatever. It really doesn't matter what the tactics are. What does matter is the approach. When you're planning out your day, are you planning your day in such a way that you know that at the end of the day, you're going to be like, man, I really wish I had that little bag of chips, you know, or I really wish I could have had that little ice cream or that little square of chocolate or whatever it is. If you're trying to go from 0 to 60, you know, go from binge eating to literally having only, you know, everything, no added sugar, nothing, and that has not been working for you, it's time to change things up. It's time to learn how to be more flexible and moderate. And that might require some trial and error, and that's okay. Okay? See, go back to the last episode where I talked about self-compassion and patience. Because here's the thing, so many of us are just trying to go from 0 to 60, even though that's not working for us, because maybe we saw David Goggins do it and we think, okay, well, I should have his level of willpower and discipline. Look, if you want to keep trying to go from, you know, like I said, from 0 to 60, if you want to try to do everything all at once and just continue to put yourself back into, you know, an all or nothing cycle over and over again, if you want to keep doing that, then more power to you. But there is another way available. And have you considered that if you try doing the exact opposite of that, which is actually learning how to incorporate balance into your everyday life, and maybe that is a little trial and error mixed in with a little self-compassion and a little patience, have you considered that that might actually get you where you want to go faster? You know, I keep bringing up recently this diagram that I had on my mirror for the last 8 years, which is small steps lead to massive change. You know, have you considered that if you had started putting just one small habit in place at a time, you know, over the last 5 years, where you might be if you had stopped trying to do everything all at once for the last 5 years and instead done those small steps? So, and again, this is not about beating yourself up, because this is about starting from right now and moving forward. So if you right now make the choice that, you know what, I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to go back into that old pattern again. I'm going to do something different starting from day one and take it day by day. Having that long game mentality of like, if I just put one step in front of the other, and what you're going to notice is those small steps start to compound over time. And you start to see these changes happening, and it feels like magic, but it's really not. It's really just you being consistent is what it truly is. Okay, so I got off on a real big tangent, and that first point was really based on stop being a jerk to yourself, you know? And so I gave you a lot of bonus tips around the mindset of how to do this. You know, so can you say that, you know, every day, every night, if you love chocolate, but you keep binging on chocolate because you keep trying not to eat chocolate, what if you were to say, you know what, every day I'm going to eat little, you know, one or three little squares of chocolate. I'm going to have that every single day. You know, there's so many ways you can incorporate that too. You could say, okay, I'm going to have one at lunchtime. I'm going to have one at dinner. You could say, oh, I'm going to have three little squares of chocolate every night after my dinner. And you can look forward to that. You know, what's wrong with looking forward to something? Because I think another thing, today is a tangent episode. I'm getting off a lot of tangents, but I think another thing that I know was true for me was I felt bad about looking forward to food. I thought something was wrong with that. I thought that it was, I wasn't allowed to experience pleasure because of something that I was eating. And I don't know where that came from, but maybe that's something you can relate to too. But it's like, where does that come from? And who says that we're not allowed to have any pleasure that's derived from what we eat? So, you know, what if there's a way to have that pleasurable experience that is in the context of balanced eating in a way that, yes, incorporates healthy choices and that has some indulgence mixed in, but it still gets you the weight loss results you desire. It still gets you closer to that health that you desire. You know, as long as we're moving forward, we're moving in the direction that we want to go. We can't get where we want to be unless we're moving forward. So why not find some small way of moving forward today? All right. Moving on to point number two, which is aim for a slight calorie deficit versus a severe calorie deficit. Now, this goes hand in hand with everything that I've been talking about already, so I probably won't spend too much time on this. But, you know, if you're constantly trying to get that to cut your calories drastically and it's not working for you, it's time to look at a new way of doing things. What if you were to just do a slight calorie deficit instead? What if you were to take the long view and be patient and say, you know, what if I really just, you know, ate 200 calories less a day? Or what if I just ate, you know, a few bites less? What if I were to pay attention to how I was feeling during a meal and just put down the fork a little bit earlier in the meal because I actually do feel satisfied? And so now I'm just being aware of that. Like, what if you were to just like start making like little small changes that led to a slight calorie deficit where you might feel hungry 30 minutes to an hour before eating again, but you're not hungry all day long? And what that can lead to, and what I've seen my students tell me over and over again is, you know what? I wasn't even trying to lose weight, and I'm finally seeing my weight come off. I had been trying to, you know, get under this weight for so long. And when I stopped focusing on that and I started focusing instead on how I felt, all of a sudden, I finally broke that plateau with my weight. So aiming for a slight calorie deficit versus a severe one. Number three, use your data as part of a robust system of feedback instead of the end all be all of whether or not you failed or succeeded. Now, this is kind of wordy, so I'm going to break this down. Data. So, for example, you're tracking your calories, you know, or maybe you're getting on the scale and you notice, like, maybe you went over your calories and now you start beating yourself up because you failed. Now you feel bad about yourself and you're having cravings to eat because it's like, oh, well, might as well just go ahead and go, you know, go overboard and I'll start over tomorrow. Maybe you get on the scale and it looks like it's not really moving. And so now you feel discouraged and you beat yourself up. And same thing, you know, you feel like, what's the point? And then you find yourself self-sabotaging. Notice how the self-sabotage comes after the feeling bad. And the feeling bad becomes because of a story that you tell yourself that you did something wrong or bad or you messed up. Whereas if you would have just kept putting one foot in front of the other, then you would have started to see these changes happening by you focusing on the behavior or you focusing on how you feel. So when we use this data as the end-all be-all of whether or not you succeeded or failed, you end up putting yourself into this spiral that's not necessary. Versus if you would just use it as one checkpoint. So when I say a robust system of feedback, there's all these other checkpoints that you could be looking at that will tell you, are you moving closer to where you want to be? So I'll give you a couple other checkpoints. For example, how you're feeling, you know, are you feeling more energized after eating, for example? How are you feeling at the end of the day? What things are working or not working when it comes to planning and preparing? What adjustments can you be making? You know, here's another one. Do your clothes fit looser? Because sometimes the scale weight actually does not move, but your clothes are fitting better. But if you're only looking at this scale, you know, you might be feeling discouraged. So it's going to be a different system of feedback for everyone. But do you have that robust system of feedback for yourself, or are you only looking at one data point and beating yourself up for it? All right. So use your data as a part of a bigger system. Develop a system for yourself where you're not just relying on one single number that's going to determine your success. How are you defining success for yourself? If you're defining your success based on, you know, whether or not the scale moves, you're setting yourself up for disappointment and ultimately for failure. What I would suggest is, instead of using these, you know, finite, rigid data points, really start to reflect on how you're feeling and how you are showing up every single day in your, you know, are you being consistent with the behaviors that you want to see? You know, the focusing on the habit of the habit is far more important than whether or not you succeeded or failed. So, for example, if you are tracking your calories, well, how consistent are you at actually recording the data versus how perfect are you at at meeting whatever the numbers are? You know, are you, and these will dovetail into each other as well. So are you actually feeling consistently super hungry every day and not able to hit a particular caloric intake? And if so, what adjustments do you need to make? You know, is it that you're not feeling satiated? So it might not be the calories, but it might be the types of foods that you're eating. Are you eating enough fiber, fats, and proteins? You know, or is it that you're super active? You realize, oh, you know what? I'm walking 4 miles every day and going to the gym 5 times a week. These calories may not be enough for me. So maybe you need to make an adjustment that way. So you see how it's really like approaching this like a scientist and really being curious and looking at it like a person who is gathering data and responding to feedback instead of like beating yourself up for not hitting a particular number. Okay, so let's do a quick recap. In today's episode, we talked about my top 3 ways to track calories and lose weight without binge eating. And those ways were, 1, stop being a jerk to yourself. You know, allow yourself to plan for indulgences and just pleasure from eating. 2, aim for a slight calorie deficit versus a severe one. And 3, use your data as a part of a robust system of feedback versus the end-all be-all of whether or not you failed or succeeded. So this is about really developing a holistic toolkit for yourself for your feedback and how to respond to that data so that you can be consistent. You can be consistently learning and making changes that move you closer to your goals in a supportive feedback loop for yourself. So thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you would like to be notified when we open the doors to Eat with Balance, get on the waitlist at rashondayates.com/eatwithbalancewaitlist. And I will catch you on another episode of the Rise and Align with Food podcast. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you have gained any value from this episode or from the podcast in general, then I would really appreciate it if you would leave a review on iTunes. It is such a big help. It helps me to reach more people. And if you did gain any insights, I would love to hear your takeaways and how you're implementing these tools. Over on Instagram, you can follow me at @RashondaYates and send me a DM and let me know what you are using, what you're taking away from the episode, what your ahas are, things that you're seeing differently. I love having conversations with you over there. And until next time, I'll catch you on another episode. Bye.